Cape Talk. Inspiration Wednesdays.
Did you see the footage of the clash outside Lutuli House earlier this week between ANC members and representatives of Black First, Land First and various other protesters who were there? Specifically, have you seen the visuals of an ANC member kicking one of the female protesters? And if you did, didn't it make you feel sick to your stomach? Not only because of the thuggery on display and that individual attack, but knowing that that woman represents how many others who find themselves on the receiving end of similar violence at the hand of South African men every single day. And it's hard sometimes not to feel completely discouraged about the fight against gender-based violence, because so much of the conversation is still directed at what women can do not to become victims, how women need to change their behavior, how women need to not put themselves in positions where they might be violated. And it's never made sense to me that we keep on trying to address the scourge from the wrong end of the picture. Why aren't we asking the really hard question of why men become perpetrators and why violence has become so knit into the fabric of our society? So that's why my ears really pricked up when I heard about a campaign that is specifically targeting men and trying to change perceptions, their perceptions, around what rape is and what domestic abuse looks like and who an abuser is. The program's called Brothers for Life, and it's run by an NGO called the Center for Communication Impact. We're delighted to have from our Johannesburg studios today their Director for Strategic Communications joining us. Brenda Goldblatt, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, and good afternoon.
Won't you just give us a broad overview of the Brothers for Life program and what you're hoping to achieve with it?
Yes, Brothers for Life was started by CCI in a former incarnation in around 2009 as a health and wellness brand aimed at men. And we have as our central belief that most of us really live with fairly positive norms. And if we can amplify and platform and share those norms, we help people who are living with more negative norms to find a way through them to the other side.
Okay, so it's about role modeling the kind of behavior and the kind of way of being in the world that we hope everyone would aspire to, but we know that some people just don't have available as a positive role model. Is it targeted at any particular kind of community, any particular age group, geographical region? Do you look, for example, at specific categories like tavern owners or police officers, for example?
Yeah. First of all, it's not even role modeling so much as creating opportunities for conversation, and I think that's very important. The work has been primarily funded by USAID, the funding, the American government funding organization, and PEPFAR, which is the American President's Fund for Relief for HIV in Africa. And because of that, a lot of the work is focused at the South African community that is most at risk of HIV infection. And in advertising terms, it's called an LSM, a living standards measurement, 1 to 7, which is really, I think, it's primarily a very large black audience at the moment, because that's where the largest growth of HIV infection is. And the work we do in gender violence supports the HIV work, because HIV and rape and gender violence are very good friends. The one promotes the other.
Okay, so the decision to focus on an anti-gender-based violence program grew out of the original health and wellness ethos of this program. I mean, it's high time this happened. How much of a challenge has it been? Are you finding that the men you work with are receptive to the message, that they have as crucial a role to play in fighting the scourge as women do?
It's been an extraordinary experience. It took us a long time to develop the campaign, a rape prevention campaign that speaks primarily to men, because we had to learn a lot, and we had to listen to rapists, and we had to spend a lot of time trying to understand how a person becomes a rapist. And very few violent people are born. They're made by the circumstances of our lives. And that's why our television advert traces, in a sense, the influences on a young child as into adulthood, at the point where he has to make a choice. And the message is, you can choose the man you want to be. And a lot of the response we get is on our Facebook page. We have a very, very active Facebook page, Brothers for Life, Yenza Gashle, if anyone's interested. And the messages we've been getting for men have been asking for help, with men saying, I don't like the man I've become. I'm that guy in the ad who's, sure, who's assaulting my partner in front of their children. I need help. And I think what we have to acknowledge in South Africa is South Africa is a deeply traumatic society and a deeply traumatized society. An enormous number of young boys are abused. Recent research shows it's almost more than young girls. We are exposed to violence and trauma. I think a lot of children are exposed to a certain kind of distancing from their parents. And violence works in a cycle. If I have experienced violence as a child, or if I have witnessed violence as a child, male or female, I am much more likely to become either a perpetrator or a victim of violence. Mm. And so these people aren't out there to make them realize. What we're trying to do in our work is to help men who are living in present violence or historic trauma, and that historic trauma is very deep, to find the place to come forward and say, I need help, let's talk about it, or to talk about it with their partners.
I think it's incredibly powerful what you're saying about men reaching out to you saying, I need help, because I think to an extent it's very easy for both men and women to put this issue at arm's length and say, it's too easy to categorize what a rapist looks like and say, that's not me. It wouldn't be someone from my family. It's another kind of person entirely. And I mean, I only have to look as far as my own circle of friends to know that it's not true, that the stereotype of what a rapist looks like can be turned on its head by probably one in four women's own experiences. It must be quite empowering for you and quite gratifying for you that men are making that step to reach out and ask for help.
It's exceptionally gratifying, and it's exceptionally life. It's affirming that when you sort of give people a map and say, this hell that you're living with, or this pain that you're living with, is recognized, is heard, and hopefully we can direct you to somewhere where you can lessen it. And the fact that all sorts of people and in fairly large numbers are reaching out is incredibly affirming, not just of a campaign, and that, you know, we did seem to hit a mark with that, and it's always nice when your work is validated. Mm. But that people want to be their best selves. They want to live their best lives. And they very often can't. And they're trapped in a cycle of behavior that's terribly difficult to get out of. Because you need help.
Mm. I mean, it's fascinating. For those who haven't seen the TV ad, it depicts a young boy observing violence in the home and witnessing a physical argument between parents, etc., and going through various phases of life, and at the end finding himself in the position where he is on the brink of raping a partner, and then taking a step back and realizing that fact. It's how receptive do you think people are to that message, that it is a choice, ultimately your individual choice, that regardless of the history, regardless of that pain and trauma you may carry with you, ultimately it is your personal choice to step away from it?
I think people are very receptive to it, and I think it's something we heard when we pre-tested the ad. We pre-tested in sessions with men who have very little choice in life. One group were rubbish pickers, you know, recyclers living in informal settlements. I mean, these are men who have very little choice in life. Mm. And the ad the story, I mean, it hadn't been made, it was just a script, resonated very deeply for some of them. Some of them wept. Some of them said, that is my story, but I'm not that guy today. I've made that choice. And I think a lot of people understand that. I think all of us know that a lot of our behavior is a choice.
Yeah.
You know, whatever it is, whatever, you know, and a lot of us, I think often you say, well, you need people to point out that there are techniques you can use to make better choices. But I think most of us know that our behavior is a choice.
Yeah.
Unless you're a psychopath.
Brenda, I know part of the campaign has been about debunking myths around rape and perhaps opening some of the men's eyes to even what constitutes rape or what contributes to rape. Can you talk us through some of the big myths that you found that you had to tackle as part of this process?
Yeah. Look, it's not just men who have myths about rape. Mm. You know, rape doesn't exist because it's something men alone want. Rape exists because it's something we all choose to allow. So, you know, one must get away from this idea that we're talking to them. We're talking to us. And I think some critical myths, first of all, that I think it's quite a pervasive belief in South Africa that rape doesn't happen in relationships. Mm. And that's quite universal among everybody, that once you're married and you're supporting someone or providing for their children, sex is a choice if you're a man. And there was quite a very brave woman who actually did a test case with a very good prosecutor to say that rape exists in marriage. Mm. I think another one is that a woman owes. If, you know, you go out, you buy her a nice dinner and everything's lovely, or you in a tavern and you buy her drinks, and that's a coded
transaction
that says, I'm buying you a good time, you're going to give me what I want, and rape is rape whenever and wherever it is. I think another is I think all over the world that somehow women ask for it, or it's because of the way you dress or because of the way you walk. And I think what we know in South Africa, you know, children are raped who don't have any kind of erotic presence. Mm. Old women are raped who aren't walking around in tight skirts. A very dear friend of mine and who's a writer on GBV says, you know, being a woman is a risk. Yeah. In South Africa. And I think being a male child is also a risk in South Africa. So, yeah, so I think there are myths that any myth that says that in some way a woman asks or a woman owes and is therefore, I think we saw that with that deputy minister who assaulted that woman. And it was, well, she used a bad word. She called me, I think it was, she implied he was gay. And yeah. That sort of, in some sense, in his mind, justified violence. Nothing justifies violence.
Brenda, with that emphatic statement, it's a great way to wrap up the interview. I'd like to direct our listeners to your website to read up more about the program and also to access some of the very useful tools you've got up there, including, advice to men on how to support a female partner who's been a victim of rape, or to encourage men to become more active in their stance against rape within their own communities. What is the best website to direct our audience to?
Yeah. The best place to find us is brothersforlife.org.za, which is our main website. And we have a very, very active Facebook community, Brothers for Life Yenza Gashle. And we've got at the moment about 110,000 people. And, you know, there we speak about everything, HIV, GBV, rape. Yeah.
And may those conversations continue and amplify. Brenda Goldblatt, thank you so much for chatting to us today from our Joburg studios. The campaign is called Brothers for Life. It really is worth visiting that website, brothersforlife.org.za. Some incredibly useful, practical tools for grappling with this issue, as well as some really interesting reading on the background to the campaign.